Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Preparing for Disaster in America, on Tuesday, January 28th, 2014. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages.com. That's all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can find out more about us at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Or visit our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Preparing for a disaster in America. This is a subject that can never be treated lightly, but we do our best to make it interesting, engaging, and yes, even entertaining to learn the few key skills and primary information that could save your life, your family's lives, that of a neighbor in a time of crisis, or the life of a treasured pet. Our mission is to engage hearts and minds and build knowledge and skills to help you prepare for whatever may come. This show is a true collaboration with solid roots in the community and a partnership with the official disaster preparation establishment. Our producer is the president of the local Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team Association, Mr. George Butts. Hey, George, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, listeners. I'm just fine. Thank you very much. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to you. And, of course, with us today is owner, producer, writer of SouthBayByJackie.com, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie. How are you doing today?
I am well this morning, Joe. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Jackie.
We are doing very well on this foggy, foggy morn in the South Bay, and we're all South Bay today. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Aaron and Bruce Wilson. Bruce and Aaron have started QR Code ID to help people that face the same fears they do. They are the proud parents of two children, one of whom was moderate to severe autism. Since their son Jay was diagnosed, their lives have been dedicated to advocating for his needs. Jay's language and social skills are poor, so with the many other worries that go along with having a special needs child, they're afraid of what will happen to him if he wanders off. The QR code ID was designed to provide information on anyone who may wander, be it a young child, the elderly, or those with special needs. Anyone can easily scan the QR code with a smartphone to view the lost person's contact information, and trusted individuals can log in and add detailed information in real time, such as where the person was last seen and what they were wearing. To learn more about the QR code ID, visit the website at www.qrcodeid.org. Aaron, Bruce, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Oh, thank you very much. And my wife, Erin, is working with our son for a minute, and he'll be with us in a little bit. She'll be with us in a little bit.
Good.
Thank you for having us.
Well, you're very welcome. And, you know, the top of the show, I indicated that the title was Preparing for Disaster in America. But this is kind of we go with what we call an all-hazards approach. And one of the hazards that we have, certainly in time of crises or perhaps at any time, is keeping track of our children and loved ones, perhaps people with Alzheimer's that are older. And these kinds of issues come up often. And in the process, this is a very unique solution. So, Bruce, I'd like for you to give us a little early history of when your son was diagnosed And when did you guys come up with this idea for QR code ID?
Well, our son is 12, or just about 12 in a couple weeks, and he was diagnosed at about 4. Mm-hmm. And at first, it was really hard to see that he had this, that he had autism, but he started regressing at 4, which is kind of unusual, but it does happen. Mm-hmm. And so for the first few years, we were focusing on behavioral intervention and stuff along those lines, which we still do. Mm-hmm. But we were always scared about what would happen if he were lost, because he can't speak for himself. Mm-hmm. And he was lost once at school, and fortunately he didn't leave. He just stood outside the school. Mm-hmm. But he's a fast runner. And so I like a comfortable life. I like to try to have my ducks in a row as much as I can. And so Aaron thought, wouldn't it be nice if we could put a QR code on his shirt? And so if anyone were to find him, if he were to get away, they could find out who he was and information about him. And so we came up with QR code ID. And one of the big things for us was making it so that you can access the website, his personal website, without having to scan it, because there's a number you can type in if you don't have a QR reader, as a lot of people don't. Right. And so he has a patch on every shirt he wears, and now it's kind of mindless for us. He gets dressed, he puts his shirt on, and he's got his coat on.
Right.
So it's just part of our lives.
I'm feeling very old these days, Bruce. QR codes for me are very new. I've been in the computer industry for many years. They are very new to me, invented really in 1994 by a subsidiary of Toyota for the automotive industry, but they've gone far beyond that. They're wildly popular in mobile applications, and mobile phones all read them. And the idea of a QR code on clothing, was that just easy for you guys? It just popped into your wife's head, Aaron's head, or did you think about it for a bit?
Well, she's really creative like that. And so as far as what it looks like to her, to my wife, Aaron, is that, it popped into her head and she said, we should do this. And then, 9 short months later, I figured out how to do it.
Okay.
Because there's a lot to consider. One was the thing about, I wouldn't have been okay with it if it was just something you could scan. If you couldn't type in something,
right.
That wouldn't have been good enough for me.
Right.
And also, at first, we were printing directly on the shirts, and it would scan, but your heart would kind of be in your throat a little bit, because you have to hold the person and you have to wait and you have to shake the phone. And so that wasn't okay. So then we had to do a lot more research, and we finally figured out that if we took patches and dye sublimated the codes onto the patch and then put the patch on the shirt, it scans like a champ.
Yeah.
And dye sublimation is sort of like the process that you use to put information on coffee mugs and stuff like that. It puts the ink inside the material.
I see.
And it's against the white background, so it scans instantaneously. I was impressed that it would work so well.
Just talking about the technology of what you're doing, it makes it easier to take existing clothing and just sew patches on. It makes it easier to you can put these patches just about anywhere, certainly on backpacks and on shoes, and you can imagine them being on other articles of clothing, not just on shirts, which makes it a much more flexible solution. So,
and it does say it says if I need help, scan or go to and it has our website and it has the thing scan and the number.
Right.
So it's also something where for first responders and just people on the street, if you see this patch and someone acting a little bit unusual, it's a cue that maybe they're not just someone acting unusual. Maybe they have some sort of disability or something that they want you to know about.
Right. Brilliant. So just for a moment, I'd like to bring in George and Jackie. George and Jackie, do you guys have any questions or comments?
I do.
Well, yep. Jackie. Go ahead, Jackie, ladies first.
Bruce, just a question here. How does your son react if somebody were to walk up with him with a cell phone to scan that off of his shirt? Is he okay with that?
So far, he's fine with it. It's mostly been people that, you know, fortunately he hasn't wandered while he's wearing it. So it's people that he knows or in comfortable situations. And we do exercises with him. We're like, hey, let us scan your shirt. You know, so we're kind of desensitizing him to that.
Okay.
We've had a lot of different kinds of responses because some of the people are higher functioning, and they just, if they're a little bit lost, they're talked to by a fireman or a policeman, they just panic and they can't speak for themselves, even though inside their own mind, they are calm and they know that that they should say who they are. So it's best, you know, they could just point and say, scan this. And then, you know, you can look at it. And one lady just, we made an ID card for her because we were doing dog tags and ID cards and stuff too. And she could just give it to someone and it says that, you know, talk to her, you know, pleasantly about something else and tell her a joke if you can to calm her down so that then she can start talking.
That's wonderful. Tell her a joke and scan her ID.
Yeah.
Wonderful. George?
Fabulous. I'm not sure. I don't know, not just a question, a comment. And I am so glad that prior to this last Tuesday and our city council meeting, I had a chance to chat with Aaron and between our guest Travis and Kobe last week and this show, the two of them coincide together about, you know, being able to find either lost children that need help or the lost elderly. And these two shows just slapped me in the face, and it was something that I needed to promote more than just a regular get-together. I don't know why, other than I know my dad got lost once, and this was long before we really knew that he had dementia and before he ended up in an assisted living home. But in each of these cases, I promoted them, and I just believe that it's something that anybody with young children or the elderly that and it's not necessarily somebody that is okay. I lost it there, but anyway, I have this passion for these two shows. I just think it's amazing what you and Aaron have done, Bruce, and I applaud you for it, and look forward to learning more. And of course, we'll continue to promote it for you.
Right.
Oh, thank you.
It's become, part of the scene. I mean, you see people with. I see for some reason I hang out in these places. I see a lot of people with barcode tattoos, and QR code tattoos are starting to come into vogue.
Wait, where are you hanging out?
Yeah.
With barcode tattoos, okay?
Are you hanging out
in prisons or something, Joe? What are you doing?
Is that the Fry's over there in Manhattan Beach?
Exactly, right. That's all I'm saying. You hang out in Fry's, you see people with barcode tattoos.
I've never seen this in my life.
Yeah.
I have, but what are they a barcode of?
I don't know.
And can you scan them?
Totally. Yes, absolutely.
They do scan because we've done some experiments with temporary tattoos, and it kind of would scan, but sort of as the arm moves and stuff, it wasn't working. And I don't know if a permanent one, maybe it would be more reliable.
Wait a minute.
So you can go up and scan somebody's arm, and it'll tell you, hi, I'm Joe, I'm a Sagittarius, I'm single, and
Right.
Wow. Okay. All right.
All right, wait a minute. Okay, John, you better hurry up and get back home.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, people, we sort of did that, but, you know, a lot of people are concerned with privacy.
Right.
And, you know, and some people, you know, are concerned with, you know, wow, that's what the Germans did, you know, the tattoos. So we're sort of staying away from that at this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're thinking of the
a Judah. Little Auschwitz-y.
Yeah.
Judah. To describe a whole class of people, many of which who weren't Jewish, but that didn't matter. The word didn't mean Jewish. The word meant controlled. The word meant under our thumb. That's what the word meant. It didn't mean Jewish. So now, when you package, as you have, QR codes and the way that you have in the patches and the ID bag badges and so forth, and you specifically focused on people who needed help, I think, you know, I've done a little Googling, and there's lots and lots of places that will help you print patches and print QR codes on various kinds of things, but QRcodeID.org, QRcodeID.org is pretty unique in using it for this purpose. Do you have people find you and say, oh my goodness, we've been looking for someone who was doing this for, you know, finding people. We can't find it anywhere else on the internet.
We have stuff like that happen all the time.
Yeah.
There are a few other people that are doing slightly similar things.
Mm-hmm.
None of them that I've seen have it so that you can use the scanning or just go to the website.
Right.
And that's fine because unfortunately this is such a big problem that there's room for more than just one group of people doing it.
Right.
Most of the time people come up and say, wow, that's the most brilliant idea I ever heard of. And which, you know, I'm sure there's other more brilliant ideas, but that's kind of the response we get. People understand what we're doing right away. You know, we don't have to do a lot of explanation about it when somebody sees the code.
We just had a show last week with a company called Findem SendKit. That's just FindemSendKit.com. FindemSendKit.com. Now, at first blush, it's kind of a strange idea where you use this kit that they provide to get the correct scent from someone that could be tracked by a bloodhound. They have very various rules about where you're going to do this, whether it's under the arms or between the legs or something like that. Something they talked about under the breasts for a woman. But once the SIN kit is correctly collected and then it's put in the freezer, it becomes for a time, I don't know if it was 6 months or a year, it becomes for a time a very accurate way for bloodhounds to be able to track that person. And it's amazing how useful and interestingly almost necessary it becomes when you spend some time with the idea. You realize that this is a great idea because there are bloodhounds in every jurisdiction, practically every law enforcement jurisdiction, that could be accessed quickly to find someone quickly if they are lost or, God forbid, if they are taken. And these bloodhounds are so amazing and so effective at giving law enforcement a direction, not exactly finding them, but giving a direction. Go this way. They weren't here. They weren't there. They can eliminate certain scenarios, and it's amazing. I think George is saying that we're in that same vein now. You're talking about something that people could really use, and really, when you think about what you do at QRcodeID.org, it's just obvious. Do you have any patents, or are you looking towards any intellectual property protection, Bruce?
We have a patent pending.
Okay.
And I know Travis. I talked to him on the phone for a while. I know way more about bloodhounds than I ever thought I would.
That's great.
And we own one of the kits.
Wow.
And so we might be kit number 00001. And so, yeah, we do have a patent pending, and we're not sure. It's such, you know, it was invented. The QR codes were invented by, you know, the auto industry.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm not sure how protectable it is. You know, it's, you know, and we mostly want to get it out there. We're a nonprofit. We've filed our paperwork. We're a nonprofit in California, and we're waiting to get our federal stuff back.
Mm-hmm.
So we mostly want to help people, but
right.
we do have a pending one.
Well, I can see that as very helpful, because there might be organizations that want to spend the money to get the kit, get the QR codes produced for certain people in a certain organization, but they also want to get the tax write off, and they can do that with your organization once you're a nonprofit. So that's fabulous.
Speaking of that, this sounds like an obvious question, but who are you marketing, or how are you marketing, as opposed to going to individual families that you know with an elderly person with dementia or a special needs child? Are there groups that you can go to and present your idea, who are they?
Well, there's a lot of them, and Erin is, when she comes here, she can talk more about that, because she's the she's really good at that stuff. I'm the technical guy, but we've been going to the regional center, which is our California agency that most of the people that have autism and mental retardation and I think Down syndrome belong to. Provide services for. We've been going to behavioral companies and doing presentations. We've been going to autism walks and fairs and having booths. We've been doing all the social media, Facebook, LinkedIn type things.
Nursing homes, assisted care facilities.
We've done a little bit along those lines, but that would definitely be a large target for us as we get established.
Oh, it's only going to get bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's just so many places that we could move with this, and we're best at giving stuff away. That's why we're going nonprofit, to try to get donations and stuff. Because whenever somebody says something, oh, I don't know if I, we're like, oh, here, have one. You know, it's like,
right.
Oh, well, there goes our for profit.
Right. Right.
And we also have products on our website that our shirts are, you know, with original artwork designed by people with disabilities, primarily autism,
mm-hmm.
That have the patches put on them or not on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's awesome. And are those just a feature, or are you thinking a whole series of artwork from children that you're going to be selling, and that's how you make money?
Well, that would be one of the ways.
Yeah.
We have, I don't know how many designs we have now. We have sweatshirts and long sleeves and short sleeves, but we probably have 30 designs.
Right.
And a lot of them are really amazing.
Yeah.
And I actually did one myself, and you know, I'm not very artistic, so it just says awesome dude with a smiley face.
Yeah. The Lionheart is one of my favorite. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's Frank is just an amazing artist. He's really high functioning, and he's from England, and he lives in Indiana now.
Mm-hmm.
And just got married and stuff, and he's just an incredibly wonderful person, very nice, and he just cranks this stuff out. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he'll do a gorgeous design in minutes. And his eyesight is a problem for him too. He's going blind. And he just is so prolific. It's just incredible the stuff he does.
Well, he's a fine artist. I mean, I just found another one, Doodle Owl, and wow.
Yeah, and all our artists, if you click on the in the shopping cart, if you click on a particular shirt, it also, you know, it'll go to that shirt, and at the bottom of it, it'll say who the artist was and give a blurb about them, and it'll say what their website is or how to see more of their stuff. And he has, I don't know, he must have 1,000 things he's done, and he's only been doing it for about 2 years.
Wow, I see. Wow. So we've talked a lot about QR code ID and how it's done and the various ways that that people can get involved. I want to talk a little bit about the business of QRID, and of course, I guess Aaron is the expert on that, right?
Could be. It depends on what your question is.
Okay. You guys are very multifaceted in how you do things. That's good. I like that. So should we bring Aaron on now? Is this the right time? You said 7:30.
Yeah, but it's not quite 7:30 yet. She's out in front of the house with our son.
Ah,
bus.
Okay, it's post 7:30. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. So tell us, where do you think the business is going now? You've been established for a while. How long have you been actively promoting QR code ID?
I believe it was last April.
I see. And where is the business going now? What do you see as sort of some inflection points or bright spots coming up?
We have a really good board of directors that now that we're a nonprofit, we have to have a board and all that sort of legal thing. Mm-hmm. And they're very, very great advisors. A lot of them have been very successful in business and stuff. And so I'm thinking, or we're thinking that if we had a budget where we could go to a lot of agencies and say, and individuals and say, we have, a budget to help your people that might wander, you know, how can we help you? Here we have these codes. We have other safety products, double-sided locks are one. I really think we could do really well along those lines, especially since so many people that do like to donate to things and can donate to charities have shown so much interest in us. I think we can really do well fundraising, and that will push our message out and help people.
Right.
What are double-sided locks?
We have we're distributors for a company called Locky that manufacture locks, and they're push button locks, mechanical. And like when I said earlier that I really like to be, I forget my exact wording, but as comfortable as I can be. We were really concerned. We moved to a new house, and we were scared what would happen if our son was in the front of the house and we're in the back, and he could just go out the door. And so whenever he would go to the front, our hearts would go in our throats and we'd run there. And so we have locks that on all our doors now that you just have to punch a code to get in or out. And the code to get out is just very simple. And to get in, it's just like a regular lock that would be for safety. So when our son goes to the front of the house now, we don't even have to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the products we're adding are products that have just helped us with peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My wife would like that because she wouldn't give me the code to the front door so I couldn't go out and talk to the neighbors. I know she's not listening this morning, but that's a good thing.
Got to keep George in the house.
Yeah, and that's not on our website yet. We're about to put it on really mm-hmm. soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing idea, friends. Neighbors, when her parents came and her father with Alzheimer's, they would lock the front door, but he did get out a couple of times. They ended up putting on one of those little battery operated portable you know, alarms that you would put on a door or something for a swimming pool type to let them, you know, when they come to town, they slap it up on the top of the board, the door, so that if when somebody walks out the door, they'll set it and the alarm will go off. So they're alerted to this, you know, the two-story, you know, large home that they're in.
So it's just so bizarre to me that, you know, the way life ends up, and that these are things we have to consider. You know, when I was growing up, all this stuff was just so far from my mind, and now it's just such a right in the front of my mind all the time. It's just bizarre how life steers you in different places.
I we're having such a great time talking with you, Bruce. It's quite a great business and a great addition to the landscape for people that are concerned about keeping track of their loved ones. It's wonderful. We're talking with soon. We'll be talking with Aaron, but we're talking with Aaron and Bruce Wilson, QR code ID, and we're talking about QRcodeID.org. We're talking about various ways of keeping in touch with your loved ones and if they should have Alzheimer's or if they are a flight risk, if they are going to potentially wander away, you can keep track of them, and people that find them can get information about them. It's a great solution, and we're looking forward to talking with you more. We're going to take a little break and talk to someone or talk about someone who's helped us. Jackie, who are we going to thank today?
Well, Joe, you know it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti Cameron Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, you can visit their website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011 and get a free consultation.
Yes, I started my taxes last night.
There you go.
There you go. Okay, so Bruce, tell us something more about your clients. Do you have institutional clients? I mean, because these barcodes are linked to an individual, and it occurs to me that an institution might, as a matter of course, assign someone, you know, a bed, assign someone a room, and assign someone a barcode. Do you have institutional clients? Hello, Bruce.
I'm sorry, I was muted so that you wouldn't hear me sneezing.
I see. Well, thank you very much. That was very effective.
Aaron's here sharing my microphone.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we do have conversations with institutions, nursing homes, and stuff.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen fairly soon about that, but we're just in the discussion stages at this point.
Sure, sure.
That's a good idea about the different beds. I've more been thinking about camp groups, and preschools and schools using that. But you're right, that's a good idea about the hospital beds.
I love thinking about entrepreneurial pursuits. It's something that really gets my juices flowing, and I'm thinking now. I know of a company in Manhattan Beach that organizes tours for Europeans to come to America and enjoy, you know, a Grand Canyon tour, or, you know, name it, Statue of Liberty tour or whatever. And when they come in a groups of 10 or 20, imagine a group of 10 or 20 people who are flying across country, who are going here and going there, and you want to keep track of them, and maybe they don't speak English. Maybe they speak French or Italian or, you know, who knows what, Czech or something. And you want to keep track of them, and the language barrier, you just want to say, everyone line up, I'm going to scan you to make sure everyone's here.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So there would be not just a QR code ID element, but there would also be a software element, because you'd want a scanner that you could go from scan to scan to scan to scan to scan, and then it would just indicate, yes, your party is here, or, you know, Hans is missing, or something like that, and be very easy for tour guides to use.
Where in the world is Hans?
Is Hans, yeah.
Where did Hans go?
Where is Carmen Sandiego? This is so fascinating. So, Aaron, we want to know a little bit more about the business. Tell us a little bit about the business of QR code ID.
I'm not sure what you all have talked about so far.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, but do you mean how does it work?
Well, you have created this vessel into which people, you know, will pour their own experiences and their own ideas into. Mine is my background is business development, so I'm thinking of, like, you know, I'm trying to rack my brain on new various ways that it could be used. But let's just go back to the original purposes. When you talk about someone who's afraid of a loved one wandering off and not being able to be communicative about where they belong, when someone calls you and asks you for help, how do you get them to be calm and to know, hey, we not only have this solution, but we're going to have others. We have double locks. We're going to have other solutions. This is our passion. This is how we live now. We didn't think of it before, like Bruce said, never thought of it in a million years, but now this is our life and we're going to help you.
Pretty much, I've been going through social media to connect with people, and then I have a conversation with them and let them know what our experiences have been and how it's worked for us. And then we talk about how to secure the home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. We love the idea. It's wonderful. It's really sort of, I said at the top of the show, it's kind of obvious when you think about it, but then again, it's one of those solutions, like we did talk about Findem Scent Kit, that at mm-hmm. first blush, when you hear the idea, you're thinking, bloodhounds? Isn't this the 21st century bloodhounds? But no, it's such a practical idea, very much so, that now I'm thinking, oh boy, everybody should have a scent kit.
And both things are, you know, have their times.
Right.
You know, sometimes, some instances, you know, the scent kit would be totally the way to go. And other times, you know, it's like, oh, thank God we had a QR code on this person. You know, it's they each have their applications that could be tremendously valuable.
Right, right. That is true. That's very true.
Yeah, it's tool, you know, different tools in the toolbox.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, they're just very different. You're going for the same end, but they're very different because, in effect, anybody with a smartphone can use the QR code.
Right.
Whereas with the scent kit, you need a bloodhound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and then GPS is an important tool, too. The thing about GPS, of course, is the cost, and you have to remember to take it with you. And And our son would just rip it off himself. But that has a tremendous value too, because that's, you know, if you have the GPS on you, and you know the person is lost, you could find them very quickly with that. But what happens if they forget to bring the GPS with them?
Right.
So here's the scenario. You said, Bruce, that you have a scent kit already. So
yeah.
Jay wanders off. And, you know, I imagine the first thing you do is call 911.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes into motion. And 2 minutes later, a little old lady two blocks away calls and says, I have your son, you
right.
know, on the corner here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there are two different, completely different ways to go about it. They can work in conjunction with each other.
Yeah, and the scent kit is, you know, sometimes we were had a booth at an autism walk, which I don't know if you've ever done these things. This was in Orange County, and it's huge. There's a lot of people at these walks, their benefit walks. They
mm-hmm.
raise money and awareness. And Aaron knows the statistics. But one of the kids was lost, and tell them where they found him, honey.
Well, he was severe and nonverbal, and he walked out of the school. He was up in, was it Twin Pines? It was very rural.
Well, I meant at the walk, the kid that was handing out the stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's the LA walk. Well, the story I was going to tell was that the boy, walked out of his school, and he was gone for 3 days. It took 3 days to find him out there in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, the find him kit would have been really the way to go. At the LA walk last April, there were 14 children lost throughout the event who had have autism. And one of them, a young man or a teenager, they spent hours looking for. And he was happily at the end of the walk handing out waters. And
okay.
he found a little job for himself, and he was useful, but he didn't realize that he should check in with his family. And everybody, all the organizers were out there looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So that would have been, the scent kit might have been better for that one. Eventually ours would have been great. But the scent kit might have been better because, you know, he just looked like he totally belonged passing out water.
Right.
Oh, that's his job. He's passing out water.
Right.
Let me jump in here just real quick now that we're talking about both. But Joe had mentioned earlier the scent kit,
mm-hmm.
when put away, has been determined to be good for in excess of a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he had mentioned 6 months or so, but in excess of a year, the scent kit would be good.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, and you're right. Both of them, they have their own place and uses. Some could be combined, and it may be more often than not. In many cases, one would want to have both, like in your situation. But certainly, you each have a unique product that can be used either together or individually down the road, depending on the situation.
Right.
And we talked to them about, you know, maybe doing some packages where both our products are together or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably talk to them again about it and move it forward a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's a wonderful idea. When I was first, you know, thinking about QR code ID, I kind of went down the route of thinking, well, This reminds me very much of my daughter, who had had a chip put into her dog, and so that the identification of her dog could be done. And this has actually happened. Her dog got lost. The dog was found, and she was called because she had this chip. But that doesn't solve the problem of, like you say, the people that see your son and they see that he's got the patch on, and that alerts them that he's not just happy walking down the street. He may be lost. He could be lost. And that's interesting that that's a very visible sort of symbol, and that's really good. And I think that's great. We did talk, Aaron, before you came in. I think there was some fashion sense that maybe the patch wasn't ideal because it reminded people of other ways in which people had been labeled inappropriately, as in the patches that people wore during the Holocaust and that kind of a thing. Does anyone say, "Oh, well, I don't like that. It's unfashionable, or it looks weird, or something like that"?
Answer that one. No one is, you know, the patches were a Holocaust thing for sure. No, people have talked about the tattoos that way, but no one has really said anything about the patches being a Holocaust type thing. And I'd never even thought about it until you just said that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why we started to do a temporary tattoo with a QR code on it, and it, because of the way, you know, your skin moves, the code wouldn't be able to be scanned after a day. Mm-hmm. But the number next to the code stayed on Bruce's arm for 6 days. You could still make out the numbers. Mm-hmm. So we were going to redesign it that it wouldn't have a QR code. It would just have the number. Mm-hmm. But then somebody on Facebook said, "Oh, what? Are you guys like Nazis?" And so we said, "Okay, we're going to not do the temporary tattoos right now."
Okay, that was let's put that in our file of things we're not going to do.
Yeah.
Right.
But really, the patches are for people who have like 24-hour care normally,
right,
and they
right.
might wander off.
Right.
We are expanding out to have keychains and dog tags and bracelets and ID cards for people who just can't self-advocate but are out in the community without supervision,
mm-hmm.
and for if they have, like, diabetes or epilepsy or some other issue that they'd want their information to be available.
Right.
I told them about the joke, the lady that wants you to tell a joke.
Oh, her ID card?
Yes.
He didn't want to put that down, but that's what she wanted.
I could just see, you know, somebody screaming and running and hitting themselves, and you're just like, so a rabbi and the Pope go to a bar.
It would have taken her mind off the situation.
Yes.
Oh, no, I think that's beautiful. That's perfect. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful. We are having so much fun. We're talking with Aaron and Bruce Wilson, owners and founders of QRCodeID.org. And just go there, or you can call 661-524-6732, 661-524-6732. And that is the same as 661-52-HOPE-2, 661-52-HOPE-2. And you can get information about QR code ID. Aaron and Bruce, if you would hold on for a moment, George is going to tell us something about what's coming up.
Yes, I will. First off, this tomorrow, LA County Public Health Volunteer Services is looking tomorrow. They need to have their... I'm sorry. Oh, that one's all over. Forget it. Mm. Area E on Thursday from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. There will be a refresher course on disaster medical. It is going to be open for Area G and all CERT members and disaster preparedness members. That's going to be done in Lakewood. Those that would like to go, I'll give you my info. Closer to home, here in Manhattan Beach, on February 17th and 18th, 2 4-hour classes on mental health first aid training that are going to be offered up to the general public, and anybody that's interested in learning about that. California volunteers have an opportunity to train, a social media. There you go, Joe.
Okay.
Social media for disaster response and recovery. This is going to be at the Los Angeles Office of Emergency Management on Eastern Ave. It is on March 20th, something to think about. more information from me down the road. And also, this next week, our guest will be Dale White. And Dale is co-chair of the San Diego Healthcare Disaster Council. He has founded and developed a Tiny Tot Traveler. Wasn't happy with what hospitals would do in the evacuation of small infants. So he's developed a kit that will benefit anybody trying to get young infants and carts out of a hospital in case of a in case of a disaster. So Dale's going to be my guest, our guest, next Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. And it sounds like I have no idea what I'm talking about this morning. I've been just taking everything in. So that's where we're at. That a shout out to the city of Manhattan Beach, who last Tuesday evening did approve and give us the two utility vehicles so that we can improve our response and our equipment for down the road when we need them.
Excellent.
And so that's it for now. Thank you.
Excellent. I have one thing I want to add.
Yeah.
Just because I just received the information yesterday, and it's going to be over before my weekend guide comes out. Tomorrow night at Page's Bookstore in Manhattan Beach at 904 Manhattan Avenue, they're doing the release and a book signing for Fits Like a Glove, the Bill and Bob Maestrel story. They're going to be doing that tomorrow night at Page's in Manhattan Beach at 7 p.m.
Wow. That's great.
Local success story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just a little local story.
Local story.
Fits like a glove, body glove. Yeah.
You know, that's what they said to each other when they were doing their, the first prototypes of their wetsuit. And they tried it on and they go, God, it fits like a glove.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the name, body glove.
Surfing is big here, Aaron and Bruce. Wetsuits and all that. Big story.
Back when I was in the music business, I had my first studio was in Santa Monica, and in between sessions, I would ride my bike down the path all the way to Redondo, and I'd sit there on the beach and I'd just visualize myself with my hit records living in one of the houses right on the Strand there.
Yeah, yeah.
Watching the dolphins swim by.
Yeah. I still do that. Every weekend I do that.
Sweet.
So, you guys are so, you're so together. I mean, this is has this turned into a dream, or has it become, oh my God, we're in a business, so we have to do all these things? QR code ID, is this a good thing or a necessary thing?
I think it's both. It has changed our relationship a lot, working together that way. But I think we've been getting ready for that, because when Jay had his regression, then we had to jump in and be advocates for him. And that really became a business in itself to figure out what kind of care he needed and to create it and spend a lot of time emailing the different professionals and that. So we kind of got our roles worked out during that process of how to have a business together. And right now, though, what we really need is more time.
Right.
You know, Bruce is still working full time, and I have my own business outside of that. And so, and then we have our children. And so we have to, really quickly when he comes home from work or after the kids are asleep, put work on this. And that part's been kind of a struggle, because now we're kind of tired a lot, but to be honest, but hopefully we'll be able to bring it to the next level and devote more time to it.
We have been talking about Bruce. We know a little bit about his history. We haven't really talked to you, Aaron, about your history, but tell us a little bit about Jay. What's Jay like? I mean, he has autism. We did talk a little bit about the fact that he doesn't speak a lot, but what is Jay like?
Well, actually, he can say phrases,
okay.
And he can answer questions, but often it's like if I say, how are you, he'll say good, because he was told that's the answer to that question,
uh-huh.
instead of really how is he feeling at that moment.
Okay.
He's up and down. Sometimes he's very, very joyous. Sometimes he's very, very angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all are these different emotions at different times. You know, he's very expressive in his. He has a lot of sensory issues. I have to give him a lot of deep pressure. He likes it when I push on his chin or on his around his head and back rubs and squeeze his feet and. He needs to be really active and emotion a lot. He does a lot of karate. That's been amazing for us.
Mm.
And he does, so we try to keep him in athletic things. You know, he's very connected to us. He has good eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
He'll come over and he'll go, hi, hi. You know, he'll tell you like 20 times hi. But he wants to be part of our lives. You know, he's with us trying to say hi and connect with us. So
Bruce said that he's a very fast runner.
He is. And you know what? He's as tall as me now. And
yeah.
So sometimes I do have to wrestle with him in the kitchen. He wants something, he goes for it, and it's really hard to interrupt that. And he can take off in a split second. I have to be very aware of our surroundings when we're out and about. I always have a hand on him, and I position myself in between him and the exit.
Did you know that some of the finest long-distance runners ever had autism?
What?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, absolutely.
It doesn't surprise me. When he takes off, he has focus.
You know, he likes to run on his own terms, though. I've taken him over to Valencia High School track, and I cannot get him to run on that track. We end up walking around. But he's such a good runner. But so I guess the walking is a practice that he's staying in his lane.
Right.
But
Aaron, okay. I got two words for you. Cross country.
Yeah.
Forget the track. Cross country.
One of his APE goals is to realize when you're running that you're running against someone,
right.
because he likes to run behind them and watch their feet move.
Yeah.
But I think if he could realize that he was trying to beat the other person, he would really try to excel at it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it may click for him or not. I think Jackie is perfectly correct. It may be running around a track is like, are you kidding? This is boring.
Yeah.
But running cross country might be his thing, and it might just ignite a passion in him that will not die. And you never know, right? You never know what someone's passion will become. You never know.
Well, I guess I'll have to get in really good shape so I can cross-country. I'll have to find someone to run with him. I can't let him go on the streets, you know.
Bruce can run with him.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's been such a pleasure having you on the show. This is such a smart, needed idea. It's something that I often talk about, how business is life, and when business and life and need and desire and passion all come together, it becomes awesome. Thank you so much for coming up with this idea.
Well, thank you for having
you.
Us. Yeah, and helping us get our message out there.
Yeah, it was a pleasure talking to all you.
And as Joe mentioned, you know, earlier in the show, our show, Preparing for Disaster in America, we do take an all-hazards approach. And a disaster doesn't have to be a major earthquake or tornado. It could be, you know, a personal disaster. And, you know, like your house burning down or your child go wandering certainly qualifies as a personal disaster.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Aaron and Bruce Wilson of QR Code ID. And the website is qrcodeid.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, George.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
And thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
All right. That's our show for today, qrcodeid.org or 661-524-6733. too. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.